Welcome to the April 29th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24, and the sermon is entitled The Great Banquet, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
Today, the invitation has been set to come to the table. And that invitation is to no particular person, but is for all people. No matter your background, no matter your history, no matter your race, no matter what country you live in, the invitation is the same for all to come to the table. There's a place that is waiting. Today, if you have your Bibles, go to the book of Luke, chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 is where we're going to be at today. Before I get started in the message, I do want to thank our teenage group. We've got a great teenage group. We've got a great group of leaders. This is not a Pastor Jeffrey thing whatsoever, but we've got an awesome group of leaders that pour in time and energy and effort into these teenagers. And so I want to thank them as well. And I want to thank you, church. Many times your prayers have covered these teenagers. And I just want to thank you for your support, not only to me, but to these teenagers and allowing them the opportunity today to serve in various ways. I'm grateful for them and their dedication. Teenagers, thank you for your dedication to our youth group as well, week by week, day after day. At the end, you will see, as they come up, the impact of the teenage ministry here. But I also look around and I see some former teenagers that have been through the youth group and they're still here. And I'm thankful for 10 years of youth ministry at Clifford Baptist Church. Most youth pastors stay a couple years and hit the road, Jack. You know, I'm glad that hit the road has not come for me yet, that I'm still able to serve here. But today, as we talk about the great banquet, I ask you the question that I have to ask you every time I preach, and that is this. Did you come to church expecting something today? Oh, no. Close the doors. Let's go home. Did you come to church expecting something today?
Yes.
Amen. Today, if you did not come expecting something, we might as well shut the doors. I do want to say a good thank you here, too. I've got a bunch of coworkers that showed up today that work with me down at B&W. And most of them come from the small town of Concord, Virginia. But I will tell you this, most of them worked all night, showed up to church today. And I want to thank for them their support as well. Have you ever been set up? Have you walked into a trap and you know at that point you've been had? Maybe you haven't. Maybe you cannot relate to that. But today, I've got to set the background for the message, and it starts at the beginning of chapter 14 as Jesus walks into a trap. Well, Pastor Jeffrey, how do you know that? Luke chapter 14, verse 1 says this, "And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him." Verse 2 says, "And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy." Pastor Jeffrey, how do you know that there's a trap there? Well, number one, the Pharisees are asking Jesus to come in. You know something has to be up there. They're going to put him on the spot. They're going to set the trap for him. The second thing I want you to see, that it is the Sabbath day. You've got to keep that here, right? And the third thing I want you to see is that there is a man that has the dropsy. Anyway, this man, the dropsy is a retention of fluids. It's a man that has gained weight because he can't get rid of fluid. But that being said, this man would in no way, shape, or form ever be allowed into the presence of the Pharisees. So you know it is a setup. They're going to put Jesus on the spot to see if he would actually heal this man on the Sabbath day. Jesus' words in verse 3 ask the question, is it lawful? You lawyers, you Pharisees, is it lawful that I heal this man? And they did not answer. They would not give him a yes or no. Have you ever been caught in a situation where you didn't know what the right thing to do is? You didn't have God, what should I do here? And there's no answer. And you'd have to go with your own gut feeling or your own heart. And I'm going to instruct you, always err on the side of compassion. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus healed this man. And that stirred the Pharisees' talk. Jesus would go on to teach another parable here. And that parable would be directed to the guests as they tried to get closest to the chief Pharisee, as they wanted the power position and they wanted to sit down beside that man. And as Jesus watched all this unfold, he taught about humility. How sometimes it's better to be the least instead of the first. And then he pointed his attention to to the chief priest that hosted the guests, the host of the house. And he got on this Pharisee for inviting people that would repay him or that would benefit him in some way. And Jesus told him that you should invite those who are less fortunate, those who cannot repay you with what you're after. And that brings us to where we are today. And it starts out in verse 15 with the question that one of the guests asked. And that question goes like this. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Do you know what that question really means? That guest laughed off Jesus' parable and he said this, hey, blessed is he that's going to eat in the kingdom of God. We're all going to make it to heaven anyway. Which is far from the truth. That led Jesus to the parable which we're going to talk about today. Friends, today, I don't have the guts to make a statement that everybody in this room will make it to heaven. I can't stand before you as your youth pastor and tell you that everyone in this room is going to make it, because you have to accept the invitation to come to the table. To come to that great banquet that has been prepared. And if you have not accepted the invitation, then you will not make it. Friends, today, it's a personal decision. Today, you're going to get 5 points out of the lesson, and they're going to be 5 quick points, I promise you that. 5 quick points out of the sermon today entitled The Great Banquet. Follow with me as I read, if you will, from Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 16. Then said he to him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent a servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. And so that servant came and showed the Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. And yet, listen to this, there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. We pray God's blessing, not only on the reading of the word, but as the word reaches our heart today. Point number one comes from verse 16. That verse says this, then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. The great banquet, point number one, involves an invitation. Involves an invitation. During the skit today, I hope that you saw each person as they opened that invitation to come. And each one, time by time, accepted that invitation to come to the table. The first invitation of Jesus' day, there were two. If you were to get an invitation to a banquet, it was a two-part invitation. The first invitation went out, basically, are you interested in coming? Are you interested in coming to supper? And many people, especially if they're Baptists like me, oh yeah. We kind of perk up when we talk about food, right? It sparks our interest. The second part of that invitation would be when the master had it all ready and he would send out his servant to those that said yes, they were interested, that now is the time. Today, I want you to know that many were invited to this lavish banquet, an invitation simply to come. You know, it's one of those invitations. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to bring anything. Just come. If you're like me, when you get invited somewhere, you feel like you got to bring something in order to eat. Am I right? If your friend says, come over for dinner, what do we say? What can I bring? What do you need? You feel like we've got to work or bring or show something or give something so we can eat. The invitation to the great banquet says this, don't bring a thing, bring yourself. That's what you are responsible for. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus puts it like this, come unto me, all ye that labor, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He doesn't define what kind of work that is, but the work of the Lord, all those who are involved are invited to come. Have you ever been to a party, a wedding? Have you ever accepted that wedding invitation and you had to write out that RSVP to say that you're coming? Have you ever forgot to fill it out and showed up anyway? Have you ever crashed a wedding? Don't tell me if you have, all right? Here's the thing, guys. It starts with the invitation. And it's not an invitation to a party. It's not an invitation to a wedding. It's not an invitation to come to church. It's an invitation to Jesus Christ as Savior. Will you accept that invitation? Every Sunday, be careful here. I'm going to warn you. Be careful. Every Sunday morning, we are fortunate at Clifford Baptist Church to have an invitation. There are many churches that dismiss without the invitation. Why would you set the table if you don't invite people to come? But if we are not careful, we as Christians will dismiss that invitation. And we actually dismiss ourselves before it ever starts. Because it's going too long. It's cutting into my lunchtime. It's not for me. It's for somebody else. Friends, Jesus died for every one. The invitation certainly could be for you. I wonder how many people have ran out on the invitation of to Jesus and have never accepted it because lunch was waiting. Friends were waiting. The songs were getting too long. It's a blessing when we have to sing through a song 5-6 verses because Jesus is working. The great banquet involves the invitation. The second point I want to make is this. The place has been prepared. Look at verse 17. It says this. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. All things are now ready. Growing up, mama had a dinner bell. And if we were out messing with the horses or whatever kids would do in the creek, she would ring that dinner bell, right? And that dinner bell meant one thing. You better get your butt to the house right now. It also meant this. Things were ready. Supper is ready. The place has been prepared. And the master sends out the message, it is ready. Come. All you have to do is come. Your place has been prepared and is waiting. Friends, today, John 14 says it like this. Jesus says, I go and to prepare a place for you. The great banquet has been prepared. It's ready. Your place is reserved. And the master is waiting. Point number two. The place has been prepared for you. Sometimes we worry about our place in church. Our pew in church. That's our place, right? Some of us have particular parking spots. Some of us have particular seats. And we get mad when people take our place. That's my place. Wouldn't it be a shame if somebody took your place in heaven? That would be a great tragedy. Point number two today. The place has been prepared. Point number three, look at verses 18 through 20. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground and I must needs to go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Point number three today is this. The great banquet requires a response. It requires a response to the invitation. And friends, we can make excuse after excuse, and even we're given 3 examples of excuses here in the scripture today. The first, I bought some land without looking at it. But now, just now, I got to go check it out. The second, I've bought some oxen, and I didn't even try them out. But guess what? Today's the day I got to try them out. The third one is I got married. I ain't even going there. I'm looking at Terry here to see if I'm getting any kind of... Listen, Here's the bottom line of the parable that Jesus is trying to say. Poor business, poor decision, poor excuses whatsoever. And I'm guilty here. We can make excuses to get out of whatever we want to get out of. And I am guilty. Teenagers, I'm sure your teachers have heard excuses of why you didn't do your homework. They're not buying them. They're just that. Excuses. Adults, maybe the police officer has heard the excuse of why you were speeding. Put them crocodile tears up, you know, and let them have it. I didn't know. We can come up with all kind of excuses. I've jotted down a few to entertain you, maybe, of excuses of why not to come to church. Maybe you've used one of these before. Number one, the music. The music isn't what I like. Well, listen, I can't use that for an excuse because ain't nothing I can do to make it better. Music is not an excuse. I don't feel connected. I'm too busy. Sunday is my only day off. People there will judge me. I don't have clothes to wear to church. There are too many people. I tell people, you make Clifford Baptist Church as big as you want to make it. There's all kinds of excuses of reasons that we give for not coming and not doing what the Lord would have us to do. But listen to this. If we made our best effort instead of our giving our best excuse, we would be there. Let me say that again. If we would give it our best effort instead of our best excuse, we would be there. People will miss heaven because of excuses. That's what this parable teaches me. People are going to miss out because they have filed excuses with Jesus of why they can't accept him. But this parable points to the bigger picture of the Jewish people. The nation of Israel rejected Jesus as their Messiah. The Jewish people were the first to get the invitation. They represent that first invitation. And they declined that invitation. They rejected, and their response was, Jesus is not our Messiah. Today, I ask you, what is your response? Because the great banquet requires a response from every person individually. Point number four. Look at verse 21 through 23. It says this. So that servant came and showed the Lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. The servant said, Lord, it is done. Thou hast commanded. As yet there is room. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Point number four, the great banquet compels everyone to come. Compels everyone to come. The master, we see, is insulted. His anger stirs. To those who would never have been invited, he extends the invitation to them. In Scripture, we see those referred to as the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. Those people that would have never got the invitation before are now welcome to come to the great banquet. This speaks to the Gentile people. This is for me. This is for us. These are for the people that are outside of God's chosen people. And as the servant goes out and he begins to invite people, guess what? The Bible says there is still room. And so the master says, go out a little bit further. Go to the highways and go beyond that. Go to the hedges. and invite them, compel them to come. The Greek word here for compel is to drive, to persuade, to necessitate people to come. To this day, listen, to this day, there is still room. There is still room. That's why we still teach. That's why we still preach. That's why we still pray and depend on the Holy Spirit to move in people's hearts to bring them to Jesus Christ, for other people to come. A word here. If you are invested in, I'm not talking about this ministry, but any ministry, this is the reason that we do it. This is the reason we do VBS. We pull hours and hours and hours. We teach our little babies to our adults about Jesus. Why? Because people still need Him. Why is Pastor Mike still here after 30 years? Because he wants to see more people come to Jesus. Why is Pastor Clyde pour his time into this ministry still? Because he wants to see people come to Jesus. Why in the world am I still in youth ministry after 10 years? I love you, but Jesus does too. And you need to hear that. But we can't contain that to ourselves. We've got to share it with the world and invite those to come to the banquet. Point number four, we need to compel those to come. Point number five, I'm almost done. This is it. The great banquet in verse number 24. Look at that. I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Harsh, horrible news for the Jewish nation. Actually, to some of the Pharisees sitting at the table with Jesus as he taught, you will not taste of my supper. You see, I'm not the host at this supper. You will not taste my supper. Point number five is this: the great banquet is not a taste test. The great banquet is not a taste test. What do you mean by that? None of those invited, none of those who made excuses will be allowed at the banquet. Those who chose land over the banquet. Those who chose oxen over the invitation. Be careful here. Those who choose a wife over the Lord or the Master will not get a place at the table. The Jewish people, the outwardly religious, some of those people hosted the dinner, they would not taste of the great banquet. Friends, today, as I wrap this up, the great banquet is for those who have seen that the Lord is good. Psalm 34 says that taste and see that the Lord is good. The great banquet takes a commitment, a lifelong commitment. You see, my two boys, they were saved at a young age. They don't realize that yet. I'm trying to teach them that. It's a lifelong commitment. It's not just a come when you feel like it kind of banquet. It's a lifelong commitment to Jesus Christ. Not one that rejected that invitation to the great banquet will taste. And that should strike our heart. Today, if you've walked out on an invitation, if you said no to the invitation, if you said now's not the time to the invitation, guys, you've rejected the invitation. John MacArthur puts it like this: God is more willing to save sinners than sinners are willing to be saved. It is never the master's plan that any one person miss out on the banquet. It is a personal choice. I'm going to close with one verse and I'm done, I promise. Hosea chapter 2, verse 23. Listen to this verse. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. Now listen to this. Listen to this. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. Today, I close this service with a question. Have you answered the call from Jesus Christ to come to Him? We see a parable that teaches us about heaven and being the banquet, and the master being Jesus, calling all to come. We see those that reject with excuses being Israel, and those that accept the call being the Gentile nation. Romans teaches me this. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Today, and only the way that I can, the Lord has set the table. He wants you there. It's up to you to make the decision to come. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, before you leave out of this door today, you're going to make a decision one way or another. Don't walk out on God. Jesus Christ paid for every sin that we could ever commit. And He freely prepared that place for you to come. Today, the invitation is for everyone, but specifically the one who has never accepted the call to come to Jesus. Whatever you're dealing with, not only will three pastors meet you here, but I guarantee you this, Jesus Christ Himself will meet you here too. Let's pray together. Father God, Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You for this Youth Sunday. And God, I just pray, Lord, that You just guide this moment of invitation. Lord, certainly we put it in Your hands. Maybe there's somebody here that just feels the need to come and pray for a situation in their life. Lord, we invite those people to come. Maybe we as Christians want to pray for people that we need to invite, that we need to extend that invitation to. Lord, I pray that we bring them to the altar today. But Lord, today my prayer is this. If there is someone here that has never accepted the invitation to the banquet, today, Jesus invites them Himself to come, lay it all down, and He will give us rest. Bless this moment of invitation. May Your Holy Spirit move in such a way that it changes hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.